all the other conventions have four or five coffee breaks for session. You should get in practice.
No, you know what? What? I used to belong to a group, the Yucca University CSO. And the ladies were all middle class, and the fellows were all farm workers. And of course, we go to conventions. And it started like very innocent and very simple. We go to convention, and you know, it's like pretty much, well, like here, you know. Or maybe people are a little better dressed, you know, and have a little more ready. And then, after a while, it started like, let's not go to that hotel for the conference or the convention, because that's not large enough. And it's not really, doesn't really look nice when we invite the mayor to come and welcome my thing. So it went on, and you know, just like that, it creeped in. Before we know, we're having the conventions in the best hotel, really, and spending out like a whole month or half a month allowance on those conventions, and everybody had to have, it got to the point everybody had to have a new suit to go to the convention once a year, and the ladies had to have a new dress. But you know, but the real thing was that the conference would start the convention in the morning, and we'd have a forum in the morning. The moment that gavel came down and we started with the business, by 10:30, 11 o'clock, 70% of people were out there drinking. You know, just, you know, they go drink So anyway, at the convention here, everybody was there for the, you know, everybody from the convention at Rosario. The gavel came down, and the moment me got through speaking, and then the important stuff, the resolution started coming up, they met. I mean, you looked around, hell, you know, like there were 10 delegates that had maybe two there, and the others were out in the box. So we had conventions we never had any. So I have an idea for conventions. No, just take over a big fairground or a big stadium and put tents and bring everybody there. Take it over. We feed ourselves and we take care of ourselves, all of it, and keep out the. See, once you have alcohol, you're lost because you're never going to have any business. It floods the fact the guys go get plastic and come back and all drunk and all. Okay, Mike. So we need some
professional.
Okay. No, they didn't want to. Later on, why don't you can't have coffee here?
There's coffee right outside the door. We can bring it in.
Why don't you just bring your cup and we can see the I got some idea of
take your chairs.
What? That's it, they can't take it back. Okay. We have a happy birthday today. For Liz Bachman. Will you stand? Can we sing? Can we sing?
Happy birthday to you.
Be my lead.
Much better on the international.
Okay. We brought a bunch of goodies with us just before we start on the boycott review that you might like to look at. This is something put out by Melchor Ocampo. We were talking about Melchor last night, the leader of the farm workers opposed to the union, in quotes. And he has this kind of metaphysical rap that he does. He goes around and he's got a sign, and it has Hitler and a swastika. Have you seen this?
No.
It has Hitler and a swastika, and then it has Stalin and a hammer and sickle, and it has Chavez and a black eagle. He takes this around and he gives these, well, he tried to talk to farm workers, but never very successfully. He got run out of quite a few places and so forth. So now he's been doing the little old lady circuit out in California and going around to like John Birch groups and so forth. And he has this chart. We picked this up. And it shows farm labor, which is the black eagle, Aztlan, which is the name for the Southwest, and Chicanoism, add up to La Causa, which leads to La Raza Unida, which leads to revolution. You know, at that point, you're supposed to gasp and say, you know, the evil plot is going on. Then here, now I don't know what this means. Chicanoism. Oppression, liberation, revolution. What's wrong with that?
Hey, yeah,
we're music guy, right? Down here, it's got racial, economic, cultural, political oppression. And then here's a cat with a beret with his fist. It says, isolate the race, unite the race, organize the race, build a revolution. And that's La Causa.
I'll take 10,000 of them.
Now, for a small fee, I can arrange Melchor to come and speak.
We'll hire him on the U.S. boycott.
We have another good piece. This is something put out by the Guardians of Freedom. Seen this? This is from Westminster, California. It's the second page that somebody borrowed, I think. Let's see it around. Up here, he's got an American flag. In his service, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Editor, having long been familiar with the far left-wing connections of Cesar Chavez, student of Marxist Michael Lasky, how did he get in? An associate of many others like him, and also being one that likes to see firsthand the activity of such people as this and trying to learn what makes them tick, I recently visited and just returned from a trip to the Delano area. With my wife being fluent in Spanish, we managed to gain the confidence of the many so-called migrant workers. Not only did we learn that most of these people did not buy Chavez and his movement, but suffered as they knew they would as a result of his success. This is to say nothing of the building located in the San Joaquin Valley that serves as their headquarters, that of Cesar Chavez. Walls draped with tributes to Marxist revolutionaries. Large posters of Cuban communist cutthroat Che Guevara. And self-styled communist terrorist Angela Davis. We should bring these guys. Then your skin really begins to crawl with disgust at all. All the Viet Cong flags about. This is the man that wants to control totally the U.S. agricultural workers. Thousands of individual workers have refused to join him, but it is increasingly difficult to stay out of the clutches of cutthroat gangsters as this one.
Tune in next week.
You're FBI. And that, readers, is all his United Farm Workers Organizing Committee amounts to. Go see for yourselves. I challenge you. This is the same scum. It's written in here. This is the same scum supported by the, quote, liberal Democratic Party.
Wow.
To get these scabs and dirty other names the youth block has for people willing to work. And to further squeeze the free enterprising independent growers, Chavez has enlisted the help of left-wing Americans for Democratic Action, parentheses, ADA. Students for a Democratic Society, parentheses, SDA. And no less, the American Civil Liberties Union. Our gross, huh?
Do we have copies of that?
Yeah, we put copies. We made up like a little coordinator kit for each city. One, because we're trying to save money on Xerox copies, right? And so you can make copies. Our grocers are already feeling the squeeze, and they have already been subject to harassment and vandalism. This cost is passed on to you, the consumer. What can you do? You may begin by sending any contribution you can, however small, to the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, Suite 250, 1900 L Street.
Sweet!
1900 I Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. Where's Ramon? Yeah, right. Okay. Washington, D.C. This is the most urgent plea I have ever made of American citizens in the way of money. This is the only organization legally prepared to defend those that will oppose Chavez. Help them through legal defense they are so lacking of in wanting to combat UPOC. Do not send money to the below address, but you may write for further information by writing Vern Stuschko.
Oh, yes.
P.O. Box 1101. Westminster, California. And it's got a stamp on here that says international communism, parentheses, one world government, parentheses, is a Jewish conspiracy. Well, down at the bottom it says, the only flag to which you pay allegiance, either national or international. This would be good to distribute at Hunts Point and in the retail. The only flag to which we pay allegiance, either national or international. That refers to this, I think. Yeah, Yeti's and Eichenbaum and Klein. And they would, right, they would all enjoy it. Then with it.
Who said Goebbels was begging?
Yeah. Then with this came this, which some of you may have seen. This is a picture of a huelguista here. I don't know how well you can see it. He's got one eye out, a beard, and missing teeth, and a big club with a nail through the sign that says welder. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because I'm the meanest son of a bitch in the valley.
You can get copies by writing.
Caesar, huh? Yeah, this came together. John Steinbecker's brother. Yeah. No, Caesar got another letter commending him on his struggle on behalf of the poor, and urged him to be alert to the dangers of the Jewish conspiracy. And went on to explain how in every country there was a Jew scepter. And the Jew scepter. Jew scepter. The Jew scepter is like the real power in that country. See, bringing together the communists and the bankers and everybody in the conspiracy. And every movement, you know, had a, like, they would try to get a Jew scepter into every movement who would really be the power behind the scenes. So like they're on both sides of the fence. The last thing. This isn't quite so amusing. This is a copy of the Western Growers Association yearbook, which just came out. They had their convention. Well, Western Growers Association, I guess everybody knows, is the organization of the vegetable growers, Arizona and California.
You might want to tell them that it's really together group. I mean, it's organized.
Yeah. It's not anything like any of those grape groups that we fought. I mean, those were pretty loose things. But, like, this is it's a tight organization. It's organized, throughout the West, it's like WGA, which covers all of California and Arizona. And then each area has its, like, Salinas grower shipper, Imperial Valley grower shipper. They have a potato division. They have the Santa Maria grower shipper. Anyway, they're very well organized. Much better organized than anything we've come up against before. I mean, particularly in terms of the grapes. They have a lot of money. They're very well financed. And they had their convention in Las Vegas on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of November. And this is their yearbook that they put out, Western Grower and Shipper, 1971. On the back, where's Peter standing? Yeah, there's a beautiful ad here, G. Fava Fruit Company, which you might enjoy. And it's full of ads from all your friends. Yekkies and Eichenbaum had one in here.
Who's that?
So forth. But it has in here a speech. This is John Dirdevanis. John Dirdevanis is a partner with Herb Fleming in Admiral Packing Company in Salinas. Fleming is the president of the Salinas Grower Shipper Association and was kind of chairman of the negotiating committee that we were dealing with. Now, Dirdevanis is his partner and past president of Western Growers Association. And he makes a speech here, and we'll go back into this in a little more detail later, but he makes a speech here called Turning the Tide, in which he talks about the very effective way in which the union was put down. Now, this speech was written a full week, 2 weeks before our last meeting with the growers. So it kind of indicates just where they were at in terms of good faith. There's another friend of y'all. See who knows who this guy is.
Daryl
Arnold. Yeah. Daryl Arnold. This is like, the Rogues Gallery. Daryl Arnold resigned from Fresh Pick last year when we signed with Fresh Pick. Because his conscience wouldn't permit him, of course, to continue working with that company, then went on to set up the Free Marketing Council, which you remember, and is now executive vice president of the Western Growers Association. So that kind of says where they're at. There's one other good one in here. The smiling guy on the right is Mike Schultz. Now, Mike Schultz is a grower in Imperial Valley, and he was head of the Western Growers Legislative Committee, whose job it is to push for legislation. And he talks in here how they supported the Corey Bill and were working for the Corey Bill and for other legislation right while we were negotiating with them. So, this really is a very good thing to have. Schultz was also Reagan's campaign manager for agriculture for both campaigns. Now, Schultz had just been elected the new president of Western Growers Association. So, it looks like the Hawks have really taken over the operation. So anyway, this is here, and like you can look through it. And there might be some other interesting things in the Western Growers. I thought maybe we should start by kind of reviewing the boycott and the way we see what happened during this past year. And I'm going to try to do this from memory, so it will help us. We call a lettuce boycott on September 16th, as everybody remembers. And it didn't really get going until October. There was a period from around September 16th until, when did we first start on Adel?
November.
December.
Around Thanksgiving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, say till around 11:25. Now, we have some charts we're going to put up in a minute that kind of demonstrate this pretty graphically. During this period, the boycott was pretty much a boycott of all non-union lettuce. We were paying some particular attention to Church, and we did a particular job on Dorigo in New York City and in Boston with this wholesale operation down there. And so as a result, we got the Dorigo contract in November. But then, after we got the Dorigo contract and around Thanksgiving, we started on the Ammo campaign, which really lasted until March 26th, till the end of the moratorium. Now, what seemed to us to have happened when we started concentrating on ANTL was two things. First of all, because there were some very good issues like Dow Chemical and like the military and like the fact that ANTL put Caesar in jail in December, we generated more, there was more publicity and more awareness of the lettuce boycott generated during this period, I think, it seemed to us, than, you know, before. Because there were just some really good issues that were out there that created a lot of controversy and a lot of people heard about it. So we started driving ANTL out of the various chain stores, and generally, I think we're quite successful at doing that. It was in January when we were able to come into possession of some of ANTL's shipping records and found out exactly where he was shipping instead of going to the places that he was going. Like, he used to go very heavily to New Jersey. He went very heavily to New York. But he stopped going heavily to those places and began going more heavily to places like Nashville, Raleigh, Atlanta, various southern markets. And that's when we made the decision to open up some of these other cities. We also found he was going to Sweden, to Europe, and that's when Vivian went over to Europe to stop him over there. So that we were really in the process of nailing down ANTL. While we were doing that, though, this part of the boycott, the general boycott of all lettuce, just kind of, it seemed to us, and, you know, it seemed to us that the general lettuce boycott just kind of stopped, really. Because a guy could buy any kind of lettuce except ANTL lettuce, so the non-union guys were doing just as well as the union guys. There wasn't really that much difference. Now, we did nail ANTL, but again, we had the same kind of problem we were talking about yesterday, about the big fish and the little fish. And even though ANTL is the largest non-union lettuce shipper around, that's still only about 8% of the whole market. And so ANTL was able to, even though he lost his premium, which he had, and even though we moved him out of a lot of markets, he was still able to go to secondary markets because, well, 8% of the market is just 8% of the market. Now, that suggests something about what our strategy should be, I think, coming up, but we'll come to that. So anyway, this was the ANTL period. Then on March 26th, the moratorium began. I think generally, probably this is the, obviously this is the most like dynamic period of the boycott during the last year, right up until the moratorium. When the moratorium was called, as everybody knows, something happened because, like, from that point on, well, there were two things. One, there was a lot of uncertainty about, you know, what was going to happen. And, like, nobody really knew what was going to happen, and you didn't know, and a lot of times you didn't know because we didn't know. And that was, I think, a pretty difficult period. The other thing was that we got into a series of different kinds of boycotts, a series of short campaigns, different kinds of campaigns, which is very different than building this kind of long-term, sustained thing. Now, probably on this upcoming boycott of lettuce, which looks, you know, the direction that we're moving in, we're going to have more of the long, sustained kind of campaign. Well, hopefully not. I mean, hopefully a week. But, you know, that's dreaming, I think, because I think it's going to be a very tough fight to build up this kind of campaign. So we won't have that kind of problem of jumping around between targets. In any event, when this, when the ANTL thing ended with the moratorium, we then picked out 10 lettuce growers, right? Or was it 12? The Dirty Dozen or the...
Yeah.
It was 12, right. Minus one plus two, right. That was the Dirty Dozen period. Now, right off the bat, we knocked off Finnerman. Remember that? That was in...
April 23rd.
What did he say? When did he say? Here. Fitterman signs contract April 23rd. Now, Fitterman, it seems to us, was largely gotten for two reasons. First of all, he was very vulnerable. He was very concentrated in certain markets. He was very heavy in Toronto, and Bill really nailed him up there. And then he was heavy in A&P, and A&P, of course, for the sake of one lettuce grower, doesn't want to get in, didn't want to get into a whole big fight in their whole chain. So right away, he began to feel the pressure. But see, the other thing was that Fitterman didn't want to fight. Fitterman's kind of an outsider in the lettuce industry, and like they won't let him into Salinas Valley and so forth, and like Fitterman wants to make money rather than fight. And so there were those two factors. One, we hurt his markets through the boycott, which we did, and two, that he's not part of this Western Growers deal. There's only two shippers that aren't part of this. One is Fitterman and the other one's Bud Antle. Antle got thrown out or resigned or something back in 61 when he had his romance with the Teamsters, and he's never gone back. But in any event, we got Fitterman. Then we continued on the other guys, and we began to run into problems of guys emerging that really did have Teamster contracts. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we said, well, Royal Packing, Norton, and some others that we... To our information, on the list that was given us by the Teamsters, didn't have any Teamster contract, and then it turned out a little later that maybe they did have Teamster contracts. And I don't know whether they did or didn't have Teamster contracts in reality. But at that point, and I think, maybe we should go back. Well, when we come to this this white paper, which kind of reviews the whole scene with the negotiations, maybe we can talk in a little more detail about that. In any event, we continued on these guys until when? Until the Arizona grapes came in. Is that right? And, see, we should have learned here, and we should have learned here. We didn't learn until the Tokays, but here the same thing happened that happened with the Tokays in the Arizona, which was that we were going after 10 guys who didn't amount, well, what percent of the lettuce did they amount to? Again, we drove them out of most of the major markets, right? I mean, they weren't in most of the major cities.
You know which one I like to get into the very far, it makes a beautiful
Merrill?
Yeah,
they have a real good artist on the, yeah. Right. Yeah, we'd love to get Merrill in, too. Hey, he's got such a beautiful wife. Yeah. No. Yeah, you've all heard Ann Merrill or heard of... No?
No.
Oh, she hasn't made the East yet. Well, we'll see if we can promote a little tour for her.
I tell everybody how to take down, she's black and kind of beautiful and all.
And she wears a peace symbol. She wears a peace button. And she goes around and talks about her Chicano brothers. And, no, she's got a good life. Yeah. And, that's Ann Merrill, wife of Union Lettuce, that with the horse. No, there's a real crew, and like we should really talk about this, because there's Melchoro Campo, there's Ann Merrill, there used to be Daryl Arnold. I don't know if he's going to be out doing those things now. Lola Mendoza. Oh, Richard Napolitano, you find him. And these are like the opposition speakers. And it'd probably really be good to promote having them come to your boycott city, because it's very helpful, really. It does a lot more good than it does damage.
We got the other day, Mr. Polirano,